From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. We all have close friends who we haven't seen now for years because of everything that's been going on. And I feel a little bit like that right now. It's been a while since we last spoke, and so much has happened for everyone, everywhere. So maybe to catch you up on what's been going on with me, I'll show you this video from my phone. It's from March 8th, 2020. My son Matthew and his 6th grade middle school orchestra. Matthew is sitting on a chair on the sidewalk playing his cello right next to many of his classmates alongside Sepulveda Boulevard in West Los Angeles, and runners from the Los Angeles Marathon run by. As it happens, this was the last time this version of the school orchestra ever played together in the same place. Just a day or two after I filmed this video, we heard that Matthew's classes would now be conducted at home, at least for the time being, they said. But Matthew spent the rest of 6th grade classes and all of 7th grade online.
I remember when we first went online, I was excited for it. I was like, ooh, stress-free assignments. It'll be much more chill. I just get to stay at home. And then by the end of 7th grade, I was just begging to go back in person.
Ooh, wait, there's a little shortcut here.
Oh, no. Already discovered a shortcut?
We just did the exact same thing.
Well, I was trying to use a mushroom to get away from that red shell.
During those long months that we spent around the house, we played Mario Kart. We ate the sourdough bread my wife made. We kicked the ball in the backyard. We watched every Marvel movie. He and I built a computer, which is both impressive and also not as impressive as it sounds. It's both simple and it still took forever.
It was planned to be, I don't know, some like spring project. We started in April of 2020 and ended it in October of 2020.
Yeah. We would think we had it fixed and then it would still not work.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a few years off my life.
My son Matthew has always liked to take on little personal improvement projects, memorizing the flags of the world, brushing up on his conversational Swedish.
Jag bor på västkusten.
And he's become a geography buff.
Mm-hmm. I saw some video where this guy made this YouTube channel about how bad he was at geography, and then he decided to get better. And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
So then after school for a few days, I just memorized every country, and then I memorized every flag.
And he's always improving his cello.
Nice to be able to play, and if someone says, hey, play me a cool cello song, I can play that.
Matthew's voice is an octave lower than it was 2 years ago, and he's gone from being the shortest member of the family to the second tallest, and he has me standing up straighter to hold on to the top spot. We spent the last 2 years pretty much mostly together at home, so there was no ceremony, there was no rituals, but without a doubt, Matthew became a man. Matthew and me and you have spent the last 2 years going through the transmogrifier. No one was spared. It worked on everybody. I stole the word from an old Calvin and Hobbes comic, but this kind of transmogrifier that we've been through is like a giant machine that pulls you in one end and spits you out the other side as a fundamentally different person. It's happened to all of us over the last 2 years, and no one who went through the transmogrifier came out the same way they went in. On this episode of Unfictional, stories from the transmogrifier. I'm Bob Carlson, and Unfictional is a program of true stories and personal documentaries. And joining me with stories throughout this season of Unfictional is reporter and audio producer Jaime Roque. These days, his life looks nothing like it did before he went through the transmogrifier.
So much happened between 2019 and now. I got engaged, postponed my wedding twice, survived the global pandemic. My wife went through IVF and got pregnant, and I left a job I had worked in for the past 18 years. All right, so that's it. I'm done. What a day. Oh, man. So much was going on in my life. I had a mic to record my thoughts as I was going through my last day as a teacher. Still here in the parking lot, I wanted to capture this moment real time. It was pretty emotional in the beginning. A lot of the students were, you know, just sad that it was my last day. They brought me a lot of gifts, a lot of personal gifts. Got some frames, a lot of chocolates, a lot of Starbucks cards. My time here is over. It was full of happiness, tears, goodbyes, a lot of see you laters. But most of all, it was a day that was full of doubts. I'm leaving a stable job, health insurance, stable income. I mean, everything. Was this the smart thing to do? But like I said, I'm following my gut. I always have. I feel like I need to do this. It's now or never. I feel the rewards will be bigger if I pursue this. Was this the best choice for my wife, Melina, and I? You know, if it wasn't for my wife, Melina, I would not be taking this leap because I do feel her support, need her support. And she's been super supportive with all of this. Still super, super nervous. You know, and not to mention, it's happening at a time when my wife is pregnant with our first child.
This is how 2020 was supposed to go for us. We have a wedding in May, buy a house, then sometime later get pregnant and start a family. But then, just a few months later, we were starting IVF treatment during the global pandemic.
But yeah, we're having a baby. And is this crazy? Yes, it's crazy. But when I've done crazy things, good things have happened. And I'm just hoping this is one of those things. Not saying I don't love teaching anymore, but it's just different now. It's just different. I would love to teach audio, like audio journalism. Yeah, of course, I'm nervous, but you know, here we go. Here we go. Last time I'm leaving this parking lot, but you know, I'm super excited for what's to come.
Last August, I was in Boston, Massachusetts, and it was a sticky, hot, humid late summer day. I was there to help my oldest child move into her college dorm.
What is your last name?
My name is Carlson. Tess Carlson.
Nice to meet you, Tess. I'm Shelby.
Hi, Shelby.
As it happens, my daughter Tess was attending the very same school where I myself went a very, very long time ago. Now, she was working her way through the orientation and move-in process, and I was wearing an alumni dad badge and rolling suitcases behind her through the crowd wearing masks. Tess is smart as a whip, and she's an exceptional and funny writer. And other people have said that too, not just her father. That said, she can be quiet in social situations. But if anything, this seemed like her kind of crowd.
I'm also really excited to get the chance to, like, you know, be surrounded by so many people who sort of think like me, because they're like sort of artsy and like think outside the box types. Like everyone I've met so far has sort of seemed like they like the same sort of things that I do.
But this was Tess's first time in Boston, her first time seeing the school in person even. We never got to visit the campus in the months before because all the tours had been canceled during COVID.
It's weird, because it still feels like it hasn't really sunk in all the way. Like, even though on the whole plane ride over, I was watching the math, and, like, I know that realistically we're, like, pretty much a country away. I guess that's something I'm worried about, that, like, once you leave and I'm all there by myself, it's all gonna hit me at once that I really won't see you guys in person for a few months.
It's possible that if you've known about this program, Unfictional, for a long time, you might remember my daughter, Tess. When she was 11 years old, we did a radio story together.
My name is Tess Carlson. I'm 11 years old, and up until about a year ago, I had a bad fear of some roller coasters.
It was the summer before she went into middle school, and the story was about Tess getting over her fear of looping roller coasters.
And at first I was horrified by that suggestion, and I thought, is she crazy? No way! Am I going to a theme park that is only roller coasters?
Over a day, we rode progressively scarier and faster roller coasters.
And here we go.
And there were a few gut checks along the way.
We went sideways because I was closing my eyes, and when I opened them, the world was sideways.
But by the end of the day, we rode a roller coaster with 7 loops.
I just rode a looping roller coaster for the first time in my life, and it was so exciting and wasn't even that bad. I am a different person than I was a minute ago. I sort of wish I had kept my eyes open.
Partway it's embarrassing because I was like little and I talked the way you would expect a particularly precocious fifth grader to talk who wants everyone on the radio to think she's really cool and smart.
What are the ways that you've changed, do you think?
I mean, I've gotten a lot like better at managing my own anxieties and fears and stress triggers. I'm still anxious like a lot almost all of the time, but I feel like now I've sort of realized, you know, I need to grow up. And so, like, I still have that, but I can, like, manage myself. And things usually won't turn out as bad as the worst case scenario is happening in my head.
And then this building right here, this was the main radio television building.
Yeah.
I lived here, and that's where I had most of my classes.
Before I left, we had a day out in town where I showed Tess some of the places I remembered from my time in Boston.
The Boston Public Library. It's sort of like a work of art in itself, and it's got like the vibes of some sort of old museum. But then you can also just walk into a modern section and get books. But I love that it's so quiet in there, and it makes me feel studious.
And then it was time for Tess to move into her dorm room.
Excellent. Oh my gosh, and you have a whole window seat and everything. That's so wild.
Oh my gosh, I can see down.
If Tess could figure out a looping roller coaster, she'll figure out the ups and downs of how to navigate college and how to live on her own in a city across the country, while me and the rest of her family could figure out how to get along without her being around for a few months. Thanks to technology, we do get regular updates about how things have been going for Tess this year.
Hey, how you doing?
By the time you hear this, like Tess will be finishing up an eventful freshman year. She went through her first blizzard and did great in her classes. I asked her what she's most proud of.
I mean, I've gotten street smart. That's my main thing. Like, exploring Boston by myself has sort of been, like, the main area of pride for me. I ended up making a lot of friends in my comedy program. I'm pretty sure, like, at this point we're all more or less friends. Like, we all say hi to each other in the hallways and stuff, except for, like, 2 people, but I don't know, one of them kind of sucks, and I think the other one, that's how he is. And I did stand-up comedy a bunch, but next year I definitely want to do more of that because it was fun. I had a good time with that.
It's Unfictional and Stories from the Transmogrifier, the last 2 years of our lives that changed us all. I'm your host, Bob Carlson, along with producer and reporter Jaime Roque.
This year started out great. Melina and the baby were as healthy as can be. At the doctor's, we were able to see the baby's face for the first time in one of those 3D ultrasounds. It was so surreal. Looking at her face and seeing how snug and comfortable she looked in the womb made me feel so happy that she was safe. But then, Melina woke up one morning feeling like she was getting sick.
On January 14th, on a Friday morning, I woke up with a sore throat and some congestion. No body aches, no fever, no chills. And I'm hoping that it is just a cold and not Omicron or COVID, because tomorrow I am 18 weeks pregnant. So I'm a little freaked out about what this means for the baby and the development and this early on in my pregnancy. For now, I'm going to keep myself isolated from my family until after my test.
Melina performed a rapid test and it came back negative. No COVID. But the next day, she wasn't feeling any better.
I feel like I'm getting progressively worse. Now I have a cough that hurts my entire body when when I have to cough. My nasal congestion is still there. I've been in bed for the last 48 hours. And I decided to call my doctor and let him know, but he was very worried that I might have COVID.
We had to drive 30 minutes to the nearest hospital that could perform a more accurate PCR test.
I just received a call. It's Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. I just received a call from the emergency room saying that I am COVID positive, which means I did call my doctor and he just said to isolate to make sure the infection is gone and I'm not contagious. So I'm going to go ahead and feel better and hydrate and just eat nutritious food and drink a lot of water and take my vitamins and my prenatals.
We spent several days living in separate rooms and eventually Melina got better. Every test we've had since then indicates that the baby is fine. That's one thing less to worry about. Now, I'm back to just thinking about being a father. It's a mixture of emotions. One is this unexplainable excitement about being a father for the first time, and the other is this unexplainable fear of being a father for the first time. My wife, Melina, and I are going to be responsible for this human being. I need to start saving for my baby's college now. What city and neighborhood should Melina and I raise our children in? Buying a house and being the best provider that I can for my family. And that's probably the biggest fear that I have. I want to be able to provide for my family. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. Nothing in life is certain. We can only live and enjoy the moments we have because those moments can soon be gone. You know, I constantly think about my father, who I lost in 2012, and my sister in 2018. What I would give to have even half a second back with them. But one thing that their death taught me was to just be in the moment, enjoy the moments, because they're soon gone. And that's what I need to do now. I need to enjoy this moment, enjoy the moments I have now, because only better ones are coming in the future.
And one final word about Jaime's story and that day last year when he was sitting in his car having left his teaching job after 18 years and he was about to begin his career as an audio producer.
And at that very moment in the car, I got an email from Bob asking me if I had any ideas for this show, Unfictional. And if you're listening to this, hopefully, it all worked out. Well, I don't know who will listen to this or when or if I'll ever put this out, but yeah, I'm hoping it all works out. I'll let you know. All right, time to get home.
We called this episode The Transmogrifier, as though our last 2 years was a giant machine that pulled us in one way, shook us like an Etch-a-Sketch, and spat us out 2 years later, fundamentally changed. But that assumes that this is the end of the story, because one lesson from a trip through the transmogrifier is that the only constant is change. And unless you want to white-knuckle it all the way into the unknown, you might as well embrace the unexpected. I recorded this just a few weeks ago. It's my son Matthew with his 8th grade middle school orchestra. They were playing along the route of the Los Angeles Marathon, and it was their first time back since March 8th, 2020.
Keep running!
The Transmogrifier was written and produced by myself and Jaime Roque. There's more Unfictional episodes coming soon. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends about the program if you liked it. Plus, you can always listen to over 10 years worth of disturbing, thoughtful, emotional, and oddly funny stories from the Unfictional archive at kcrw.com. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional, The associate producer is Anna Buss. KCRW's content director for culture is Anyel Zuberi Fields. Special thanks to Calvin and Hobbs. Episode graphics by Alex Cirilla. Unfictional's beautiful theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. Please join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.